Let's go to Matthew chapter 13, verse 47 through 50. One of the unique things that Christ did while here was that he taught in parables. He shared several parables, about seven parables. And Matthew 13 is the last of those parables in the gospel according to Matthew. And what parables was simply were that Christ would use earthly examples. He would talk about things that those in that time or could relate to, and he would use these earthly stories, and they would have spiritual and heavenly significance. And Jesus would try to relate to them, and he would use these examples, and so would try to bring things and make it more some clarity to things in order for it to have the effect, so people can leave with a greater understanding of what Christ's message was all about. And so he uses a parable in this particular text here, and he uses it. And listen, I'm not a fisherman by no means. I try. The reason I don't like fishing, because I'm scared of snakes. And Texas has a lot of snakes. And every time I go to a lake, there's a snake there. And I'm trying to get somewhere. And I will leave all your poles and rods in order to get away from snakes. But I like what Jesus does. He gives this parable, and he uses the analogy of a fisherman. And he says that he uses a dragnet. The significance or the importance of the dragnet is that the dragnet is designed to do exactly what it said it is. It is to be placed into the water, can be done by two boats as they go out, and they stretch it to its extent, or can be tied on to the pier, and a boat normally goes out, and they drag. They have floaters on the top of the water, and they have weights on the bottom. And what they would simply do was to gather anything that would come into the net. Now, here's the significance part about that they do not specifically target any type of fish, because you can't do that when you do a dragnet. A dragnet is designed to do what? Is to grab everything in this path. And when they will pull the dragnet to shore, the possibilities that there was going to be some things in the dragnet that needed to be discarded. And so Christ gave this example. He says that he extends this dragnet. I'm going to help us see this now. And I want us to look at this, because we're going to try to figure out what type of fish are you. So he stretches out this dragnet. And the Bible says in this text, and I'm going to show you, he says that there are some that are going to be what? Kept. And some are going to be discarded. And the question is, as much as God wants to save all of us, as much as the shepherds of this house and the minister and the angel of this house desires that all of us are saved through preaching and teaching and accepting of God's word, the likelihood is that we're going to have some that are going to continue on with us until Christ come back, that God himself is going to do what? Discard. Oh, y'all didn't see that now. And I'm going to show us in the text that there are some that need to be thrown back. But unfortunately, that's not going to happen, because there are going to be some who want to be along with us until that time comes. Let's go there. Let's see if we can have a little fun. Y'all looking strange. Now, I'm not a fisherman, as I said. And so I had to try to define various types of fish. So that means looking at the Discovery Channel and looking at Animal Kingdom. And there are a whole lot of different fish that exist in the ocean that I wasn't aware of. There are some strange things out there, just like there are some strange some of us in here. That's all right. So let's go to Matthew 13, 47. Let's read this a little bit, and then we're gonna try to hasten on. Matthew 13, 47 through 50. Readers, I'm going to need you this morning, because I'm going to call out some text. I'm going to slow down, but I'm going to be fast enough so we won't be here all morning. Matthew chapter 13, verse 47 through 50. What does the Bible say?
Again, the kingdom is like a dragnet passing to the sea and gathering fish of every kind. And when it was filled, they drew it up on the beach, And they sat down and gathered the good fish into containers, but the bad they threw away. So it will be at the end of the age, the angels will come forth and take out the wicked from among the righteous, and will throw them into the furnace of fire. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these things? They said to him, yes. And Jesus said to them,
that's good right there. Listen, there is a separation that's going to happen. And we have to understand that it is going to take place. So the question is, let's see if we can identify where we are. And God has given us an opportunity to try to correct those things that can place us in a better position to be a worthy kept fish that is valuable for the kingdom. Now, if you find out that you're in a discarded place, then it is up to you to try to figure out what is necessary for you to do what? To change your perception or where you are right now, all right? So, goldfish. Look at everybody. Are you ready for the goldfish? They are only good to look at. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. Most of us like goldfish. Some of the cheapest fish to buy, other than the beta. So Matthew chapter 6, verse 1 and 2.
Beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in the heaven. So when you give to the poor, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be honored by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full.
Listen, our job or our responsibility, Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 16, the Bible says that make your light shine so others will see the good you do and will praise your Father in heaven. Our job is not simply to do good and to try to get recognition for it. It is simply to do good and make sure that all those praises do what? Or point it back to who? God himself. And there are some of us who are simply all about self-glorification. That's why we do what we do, because we want to be what? We want to be recognized. Just like the peacocks, we like to strut because we got colors that we want everybody to see, and we want everybody to recognize that we are the ones that are what? Are doing this thing. You ever hear anybody say, you owe me something? Why? Because I did this for you? Do you remember this? Y'all, that's not y'all. Y'all not goldfish. Maybe you a mud cat. Yeah, let's see what a mud cat is. It is known for its filthy habits, and it inhabits the muddy parts of the streams. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse number 22. A lot of us like eating catfish, but there's a certain kind of catfish. There's certain fish that you eat. Sometimes you eat a catfish and it tastes a little, he have a different taste about him. And sometimes I was seeing people fish, and they said, man, don't eat that cat. Throw that one back. That was a good fish. He was big and healthy, but he was a gutter eater. Why? Because he eat all the trash on the bottom of the lake. Oh, y'all looking strange. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse number 22, and then get 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33. What does the Bible say? 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse number 22. Write these down, because I want you to go back and look at these things. We just want to try to identify, perhaps you are one of these ones that when Christ comes, he's going to discard you because you find yourself in this category. And if you got time, God allows us, then we can correct some of these things about ourselves. What does the Bible say? 1 Thessalonians 5 and 22.
Reject every kind of evil. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Brothers and sisters, pray for us. Greet all God's people with a holy kiss. I charge you before the Lord to have this letter read to all the brothers and sisters. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
That's good. 1 Corinthians 15 and 33 says, don't fool yourselves. Bad friends will what? Will destroy you. It is known, like I said, allow yourselves to even talk and look guilty or put in a particular category. And so the way we talk in our conversations and how we walk are different things. We must be chaste. Men sometimes indulge in filthy things. And so we need to be careful about the activities that we involve ourselves in. Don't be considered to be a mud cat. Always want to be in filth. Always want to be in the garbage part of people's lives. You always lingering around the trash bin trying to find filthy things. Yeah, you survive on it, but it's not healthy for you. That's all right. Maybe you a Google-eyed fish. Somebody said, that a real fish. Yeah, a real fish. Matthew 7:3-5. It is all eyes, never missing anything. Yeah, that is a busybody fish. Let's go to Matthew 7:3-5. Kind of like fault finders. You know, members that always find fault in everything that you do or in everybody except themselves. Y'all looking strange. A goldfish is just like to be what? Highlighted. A mud cat like to do what? Hang around and eat all the filth and keep up all the trash and garbage. A Google-eyed is what? A fault finder. Everything is wrong with everybody except them. Huh. You ain't leading the song that I want to hear you sing right. You missed the pitch, but you can't sing yourself. Strange. You hear about everybody talk about everybody else cooking, and then you ask them to be a part of the cooking ministry, and they can't do boiled water right, and they food is bland. All y'all looking strange. Woo! Listen, let's go to Matthew 7:3-5. What does the Bible say? I won't be long. I'm just showing y'all some things on what the intent of the text is about. Matthew 7:3-5. What does the Bible say?
Why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, and behold, the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye.
Listen, we all make mistakes and we all have errors that we need to develop and grow in and mature in. But it's interesting that how we like to highlight people's faults, especially when they become public faults. You know, we try to classify sin as if, you know, we talk about sin as not classified as sin and sin, but let someone's private issues become public issues. The ones who private issues haven't become public issues are quick to point out the fault in other individuals. Gathering crowds. You ever heard anybody hear you find out something about you and they form an opinion about you and they never really had any interaction with you themselves, but they've already cast you like they stuff don't stink? Okay, y'all looking straight. I'm just trying to help you out. I mean, we're fault finders. We're always judging other individuals. Now, we're not talking about righteous judgment, you know, things that we know that we need to question or address. But we're saying simply it's when someone else's issues are highlighted more than your issues are. That's because you're in the privacy of your homes and nobody, God knows, but you know your sins. Brother, I don't understand what you're saying. Young lady mess up and she gets pregnant.
There it is. Come on.
You take birth control and you avoid getting pregnant. We're not talking about the ones who are married. We're talking about the ones who are indulging in sexual activities. Y'all looking strange. The ones we know that come to church and we can smell the alcohol coming out of there. Come on, talk to them out of the pores. But we come to your house, you got everything from rubbing alcohol to vinegar. Oh, let's move on. Maybe you're a sun perch. You're small, but you're good for food. You live in the sunny parts of the stream. You're quick to sit danger, sense danger, and you flee. That's a good catch, the type we need to be affiliated with. Psalms 119 and verse 105. And someone else go to 1 John 1 and verse number 7. Psalms 119 and 105. As small as the sun perch is, it realizes that when there is danger, because I'm not equipped to do what? To withstand this danger or to deal with this issue. The best thing for me to do is what? Is to run away from it or to avoid it or to get myself out of trouble. And sometimes there are some of us who love to hear trouble about everybody else, or we love to hear when other people, we like hearing mess. But when we have an opportunity to avoid things, then be like the sun perch. As small and as insignificant as he may be, he does have an instinct that he senses danger. And when his senses are alerted, he realizes that I need to do what? Flee from this situation. And so, and the Bible says in Psalms 119 and verse 105, what does the Bible say? Come on, brother. There's two of y'all up there. You get one verse scripture and you get the next. That's how it should work now. Tick, tack, and toe. Let's go. Psalms 119, 105. What does the Bible say?
Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. I have taken an oath and confirmed it, that I will follow your righteous laws. I have suffered much. Preserve my life, Lord, according to your word. Accept, Lord, the willing praise of my mouth and teach me your laws. Though I constantly take my life in my hands, I will not forget your law. The wicked have set a snare for me, but I have not strayed from your precepts.
That's good. Let's go to 1 John 1 and verse number 7. What does the Bible say? Tick, tack.
But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin.
Listen what it says. But if we live in the light as God does, what? We share in life with each other, and the blood of his son, Jesus Christ, what? Washes away all our sin. So we have a responsibility to flee and to remove ourselves from danger. Maybe you are ill, slippery, and hard to hold. It represents an undependable person in the church. Oh, y'all look strange. Let's go to Acts chapter 15, verse 37 through 40. Eels, they're what? I don't know many of us who eat eels. I don't know many of us who go out and fish for eels. The Bible says the eels, they are slippery. They are hard to hold. They are undependable. They represent individuals who you cannot rely on. You know, somebody, you ask them to do something for you, and you know, or they step up and say, I'm going to do this for you. And you look for them, and they nowhere to be found. People that'll shout loud when the message is good, and that'll cry even louder. And then when you say, oh, we need volunteers, and you look on the list, and all the shouting and crying people, ain't nobody's name on the list. And you say, well, I need 10 over here, and 20 over here, you just cannot be dependent on. You know how you have somebody, you say, listen, I just need you to do something for me. And you call them and you give them weeks ahead of time notice. And when the day shows up, what happened? They don't show up. Y'all looking strange. The same things that go on in your personal life bleeds over to your spiritual life. And it affects how the church moves forward and is operated sometimes. It's all right, y'all looking strange. So I wasn't going to preach, I was just going to talk to us. What does the Bible say in Acts 15, 37 through 40?
Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them. But Paul did not think it wise to take him, because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in their work. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and snared for Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and left, commended by the believers to the grace of the Lord.
2 Timothy 4 and 10, this ties in. Sometimes we find people that are just they're undependable, they're not dependable. people that we can depend on. And we have to accept those things, that there are just leaders. When you're in leadership, it's, you try not to discard anyone. We really don't. We're meeting and we're talking about how can we acclimate the congregation and get our members more involved. And you try you brainstorm, you're going through all these different oceans, and you're trying to figure out strategies on what can we do to excite the people of God. You know, it's just like there should be a natural excitement, but we know everybody is not where we are. You know, and we realize that. It's kind of like our transition right now. It may have taken us as a leadership a year or so to debate and to talk about the transition of moving. And then once we arrived at our point, we were all excited about it. But when we announced to the congregation, sometimes we forget that it took us a year or so to get to where we were. And it's going to take you all a little bit longer to get to where we are as excitement. And so we try to figure out how can we build you all and get you there to that point. But then there are some, no matter what, it doesn't matter. You can do all that you want to do. You can preach all you want to preach. You can talk all you want to talk. Some people are just here, and they're just like a goldfish. They just want to be seen. It's almost like checking the box. I showed up to church today. I did my part, and I'm going home. Some people are slippery like eels. Some people like mud cats. They're just here just to gather enough dirt, junk, and go and disperse it everywhere. I got two more for y'all, maybe three. Just depends. Maybe you're a scissor bill. Simply means it is always sticking its nose into the affairs of others. I should have put you up there where the other one was at. 1 Peter 4 and verse number 15. I'm just going to give you some scriptures for time's sake. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 15. Then 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse number 11. What does the Bible say about 1 Peter 4 and 15?
Make sure that none of you suffers as a murderer or thief or evildoer or a troublesome meddler.
Maybe you're a crawfish. Crawfish has a tendency to travel backwards. It likes the muddy bottom. Hebrews 10, 38 and 39. The Christian should be up contending for the faith, staying steadfast, and God will protect you. He will fight for you. Don't turn back now. Some of us, as God gives us opportunity to move forward, we like digression, like staying where we are, and so we resort back to what's comfortable for us. And so we can hinder the progress of what we're trying to do because we got members trying to hold on to something that has far past them. And so we get stuck. It's kind of like a dog that returns to his what? To his vomit, is what the scripture says. Nasty, it's disgusting, is it? But we have members that want to go back. We want to, if we can go back. It's always good to have memories and things to reflect on. And we learn from our past. But we can't go back. Everything in the past wasn't good. So don't sit there and act like that. Sometimes I hear us talking about that all the time, like everything in the past was good. There may have been some good moments, but there were some things in the past that you don't want to return to. You want to go back to Jim Crow days? Yeah, you talk about all the good days, but you don't want to go back when you had limitation about some things. Y'all look, don't act strange. Don't look like that to me. You want to go back to certain presidents that you didn't want running the country at the time that were taking benefits away from you? Some of y'all were in bad relationships. You don't want to go back to them, do you? Some of you glad you got away from them situations. We only want to talk about the good things when we talk about going back. I wish we can go back. I wish we can go back. Some of y'all know you don't want to go back. 1988 was a bad time for some of you all. Some of y'all older than that, 1968 was a bad time for you all. Y'all looking, it's all right. No, we want to go back. You don't want to go back. Let's keep going. Maybe you're a trout. It is always alert and awake. Ephesians 5, 6, and verse, chapter 5, verse 6 through 17. And Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. It is hard to deceive. Trout is always alert and awake. That's why it's hard to catch them. They're always visible. They're always being watchful for things that are around them. Maybe you're a jellyfish. Has no bone in the structure. It's soft and without definite shape. Too many of us are like that. I know oftentimes we label some of our leaders like jellyfish, but we got members that are jellyfish. 1 Corinthians 11 and 30. We ought to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. And then there is the snapping turtle. It has a bad disposition. Always snapping at anything that comes near it. Those in the church who hinder the cause and the cause of growth of the church by always objecting to anything that happens. You know members like that? Some of you all may be like that. You may be married to somebody like that. Anytime you come up with any idea or anything, snap, snap. They got something to say about everything. You trying to cook. You got too much salt over here. Snap. You drive a little bit too fast. I'm 2 miles over the speed limit. Snap, snap. You spend a little bit too much money. I spent $5 and I went to Walmart, Wally World, what y'all want to call it, or to the thrift store. You can't win for losing. Oh. Woo, Jesus. Everything is an issue. You went to the barbershop how many times? 4 times in a month? You went to the beauty shop 2x this month. But you want my hair done and looking good, but you complaining about me going. You don't want me to put a wig on, it costs $2 on it. And when I wear it, it look all strange and leaning to the side, you're mad and frustrated. I'm sweating. I ain't talking about mine. No, listen. somebody's always snapping about, everything. If you think about it, in the kingdom, and when leadership realized that our members make up a multiplicity of individuals, personalities, and different things, it'll be easier for us to have a better grasp on our congregants as we serve you all. There are some people that you just don't want to deal with because they're always negative. Oh, every time you have a conversation, it always has something, never anything positive. Even when something good happens to them, it's always something negative. And they drag you down and they drag you. Every time you see them, you avoid them. I'm telling you that when the dragnet was cast, the purpose was to find fish that was edible to survive and to eat. And as they went through the dragnet, those things that were not beneficial to them, they threw them back. And the Bible says that there's going to come a time that when Christ comes back, that he's going to cast those that are not beneficial for the kingdom, and he's going to throw them back. And the question becomes now, what do you find yourself in? Maybe I didn't identify you as one of these. Maybe you're not even a fish. Maybe you're a snake that just happened to slither off in here. When you drag, you drag all type of trash that comes up. And there are a lot of things that need to be discarded about us. Maybe the things that we need to just discard about our character in order to help us get to a better place. Amen. Maybe some of us are almost all of these things. He was a bad joker, Dad. But what I'm simply saying to us is that at some point, we have to learn how to separate ourselves. And those things that are hindering us, we need to move them aside. Sometimes I speak very bluntly, and that might get me in trouble. People don't receive it the right way. But sometimes I have a hard time believing a congregation of our magnitude and our size do so little when it comes to things that need to be done. Kind of feel like when you leave, do you really believe the messages that are being taught? It's interesting, when we sing with such vigor. But when we're preaching the word and teaching that, does it fall on deaf ear? What do you mean? We shouldn't have to beg as much as we do. I know J.K. used to say, like, I'm tired of begging, because it becomes frustrating. It is very heavy, the burden that we have to carry sometimes. Shouldn't have to beg a congregation to do your due diligence when it comes to financial responsibility. I'm just telling you, we shouldn't. Every time we need help, we pray to God, we beg God, he comes through for us. But when it's our time to do what God asks us to do, it's like pulling teeth. Nobody would ever see a U-Haul fall a hearse to the graveyard. You ain't take none of this stuff with you. All your family members are going to be fighting over it anyway when you pass along. You can't be bad. There's nothing that's going to be benefit you once you die and move on. We have to be better stewards, not only about our service, but about our finances to the Lord. Most of us are planning vacations already. And you can't tell us we can't go on a vacation. We'll tell you, I deserve it. Why? I work hard for my money. We'll spend $5,000-$10,000 to travel around the world and won't give $500 a year to the Lord. I'm telling you what's needful, and you may receive it badly. It may not taste good, but it'll heal you. I hate olive oil and castor. Let's be mad at my mama there. My mama. They said mama there. Y'all like that? Mama, I didn't even know why we took it every day. I wasn't even sick, but I was taking it every day. Yeah. I'm not lying. Ask mama. It was like dinner time, castor, caliver time, caliver oil. What? You look for a piece of peppermint or some kind of candy to go down with it. It didn't chase it right, Cal. I be gagging, trying to go and spit it up somewhere. And then one of your siblings tell on you, oh, Andre, get his up. Come back and get another big spoon. So thick, it didn't go down smooth. As nasty as it tastes. And me and my mom were talking, I could never remember ever having the flu, though. Of being sick like that. As terrible as it, that's some terrible medicine. Whoa, I'm having flashbacks. as bad as it tastes, it was beneficial and it served its purpose. Sometimes preaching is, it tastes bad. And it's hard sometimes to hear messages like this, but it's beneficial to you. If it can save you, take it, grit it down, frown, whatever you got to do to digest it. Get something to chase behind it. Something legal now. Don't be telling them, Brother Thompson, told you to go get the wrong type of chaser. But get something that's good to you. It'll be beneficial to you. That's my message for us this morning. What type of fish are you? Are you one that can be beneficial to the kingdom? Are you one that needs to be discarded? If you are here and you're not a member of the Lord's church, you have an opportunity to do so by being obedient to the word of God. How do you obey the word of God? By being baptized and accepting that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and being buried in the water grave of baptism for the remission of your sins, and God will add you to his family. And he will give you his Holy Spirit, and it will guide you in all things. Doesn't mean that you won't be without sin and you won't make mistakes or mess up. It's that you will have God's Spirit to guide you, and you will have the grace of God, one of these unsearchable riches of God, to be able to ask for forgiveness, and God will forgive you. If you are a member of the Lord's church and you just need prayer, you know what you're going through. And if you don't pray a lot, pray publicly, pray privately.